This morning, our camp devotional spoke about walking in the Spirit. And I thought that that was something that I was trying to convey a little bit last night, at least one aspect of it. We recognize that Jesus is in us and we learn to practice his presence wherever we are. But then we also want to develop a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, his prompting. Maybe you've had this experience. You're sitting in church and we're worshiping the Lord. Maybe it's here at Pilgrim Camp. And then you think about a song that you would like that maybe you should lead out and sing. But you're shy, right? And maybe you're questioning whether I should do that. Is that the Holy Spirit or not? And so all the time that you're sitting there, then someone else will lead out in that very song. And then you'll realize that was God. That was. See, the Lord was trying to teach me how to be led by the Spirit, how to you know, follow what the Spirit is doing. And maybe it's a testimony. You wondered whether you should testify or not. The thought came to you. And as you were deliberating, then God had someone else get up and say just the thing that you were going to say. And in those ways, these are simple ways in which the Holy Spirit teaches us to recognize his moving in our life and to help us to learn to follow those leadings. And so the idea of following the cloud or following the dove in the New Testament is a lesson that God wants us to learn. And that has something to do with walking in the Spirit. You're walking in touch with the Spirit. Your heart is open to the Spirit. You're ready to obey when the Spirit speaks and directs us. We make some mistakes along those lines. Sometimes we think it's the Holy Spirit. It was really my own thought. But the Lord sees our heart, and he sees that we're wanting to learn and wanting to please him. He doesn't condemn us for that. He teaches us. I've learned some lessons by saying things maybe in a way I shouldn't have said them, or maybe I talked too long. And that's probably often the case. And then you sit down and you say, I should have stopped here, you know. But I had to add that other story, or I had to. Well, you learn then. And so we're all in God's school, but it's so important, whether you're a preacher or a pastor or wherever God has placed you as a Christian, we have the privilege of being led by the Holy Spirit. And that's what so impressed me about Jesus, that he was so, every morning you'd find him in prayer. He nurtured that sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. He went when the Lord told him to go, and he stayed when the Lord held him back. He spoke what the Lord gave him to speak, and he didn't speak his own words, and so on. And so that's our goal. And if God is helping us, and here at camp, he can give us much help along those lines. Okay, that's a repeat from last night. See, I could have said all that in 3 minutes. Some people are wondering about my bracelet. You know, this is, this says, what does it say?
Oh, Jesus.
No, it's no wonder you're here. It says, sweet inside and out. And it's, please pray for Pilgrim Camp, second period.
Oh.
So, some of you will get some of these, if you're interested. And to remind you to pray for camp. And I wore mine yesterday and this morning, and I looked at my daughter, the head counselor, and she didn't have one on.
Oh.
And no one else seemed to except my wife. So, anyway, in case you're wondering, I don't normally wear this.
Okay. Looks good on you, though, sir.
Thank you, thank you. Okay, let's turn to the lesson, and there's some very simple thoughts there. We're going to talk about the parable of the sower. I entitled it Believing Heart. When I preached this some months ago, I entitled it A Good and Honest Heart. And I think that you'll see both of that here in this chapter. Now, I'm so happy that Brother John Byman is with us, Pastor John Byman. And I told him to feel free in the meetings, and he said, well, I'm here to hear you preach, but if I can help in any way, please let me know. Brother John, can you read for us from Luke chapter 8, 4 through 15? Okay. Now, we know that a sower is one who plants seeds. We would think of a farmer as a sower. And so we read with that understanding. Do you want it in my Bible, sir, or do you have
it? She has it right here. Okay. Which one do you like?
No, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Luke chapter 8.
Luke 8, 4 through 15. The story is also mentioned in Matthew and in Mark. And we're looking at Luke. Because Jesus uses a certain word in Luke that you don't read in the others. Okay, thank you.
And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear."
Thank you. Okay, now I realize that the explanation of that parable is further on. Can you read the explanation as well, John?
Sure.
Do you see it?
Then his disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Continue.
Yes, please.
"Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now, the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word, with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience."
Thank you. Okay. In the King James, it says, "with a good and honest heart, bear fruit." Now, obviously, the word represents, the seed represents the word of God. The sower are those that minister God's word, that share God's word. And the ground represents the different conditions of the heart, and how the word of God is received. The purpose of ministering the word of God is to cause it to find a place in the hearer's heart, to take root, and to eventually bring forth fruit. And fruit, of course, is something that others benefit by as well as yourself. Fruit trees. Tree produces fruit for the benefit of others. And so we produce fruit to glorify God and to bless others as well. Years ago, I had a woman who used to call me up. And mentally, she wasn't all there. She was a young woman, and she was troubled in her mind. And she was always asking me, "Pray that I get saved. Pray that the Lord save me." And so I prayed with her. She called me again the next day, "Pray that I get saved, pray that I get saved." She never broke through to this assurance. She believed in Jesus, she believed he died for her sin, she asked him to come into her heart, but she never had an assurance that she was the child of God. And then the Lord showed me one time, she needs the word of God implanted in her heart. Peter tells us that we're born again by incorruptible seed, which is the word of God. I said, "So Patty," I said, "it's not just enough to pray. You've got to base your prayer on the word of God. You've got to receive the seed of God's word into your life." And then I shared verses with her. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And I saw the importance. I don't know how far I got with her, but I saw the importance of not just praying, but praying God's word into your heart. That's where faith comes. When we meditate in the word of God, we get a greater sight of Jesus. We get a greater sight of his faithfulness, and we can believe him then. There's a confidence that he puts into our hearts because of our understanding and the revelation of who he is. And so the Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it's so important that we get the word of God into our hearts every day. And not just to read it and then forget what we read, but to take time to pray about it. Lord, help me to understand this. Make this real to me, Lord. Let this word become alive in my heart. Help me to see Jesus in the word, and seeing Jesus increase my faith in him. Parables. Parables are stories. They start out as stories, right? The word a parable is a story that's cast alongside something. Jesus wants to convey a truth to you. So first of all, he gives you a story that you can understand and relate to. And this was an agricultural society, and so most people understood something about farming and planting seeds and how to do it and how not to do it. Those of you that have gardens, you know something about tilling the soil and taking out the weeds and making sure that the earth is deep enough for the roots to go down and so on. And so I read this the other day, and it interested me. Parables start out as stories, stories that interested people. Right? So Jesus would tell a story that seemed to interest everybody. Oh, I know something about planting and sowing. Maybe there were some farmers in the audience. But then it says, the parable starts as a story to get your attention, but then becomes a mirror to show us ourselves as God sees us. When we take time to think about the story, and how does that apply to my life? What is God trying to say to me? Now the parable becomes a mirror, right? James said that the word of God is like a mirror. We see ourselves as God sees us. And where there need to be changes, God can point that out to us and then give us grace to receive that help. And then they ultimately become windows through which we get a greater sight of God. So I like that progression. First, they interest me as a story. But then if I really want to know truth and I want to understand what the story means and how it applies to me, I meditate, I pray, and then it becomes a mirror. And then when I get a sight of myself, then it becomes a window where I see that whatever my need may be, God is able to meet that need. God is greater than my need. So stories, mirrors, and windows. Now the first ground that Jesus spoke about was the hard ground. The ground that fell on the pathway. Sometimes you look through the woods here, and there are paths. And they're formed because people have continually walked on the same terrain until the ground was hardened and beaten down. And so there are those that have been beaten down by life. They've had some difficult experiences in their life, and their hearts have become hard. They can't understand why God allowed these things, and they become bitter. The Bible says that our hearts become hard through the deceitfulness of sin. Some people have given themselves over to a life of sin, and their hearts have become hard toward the things of God. And that's the effect that sin has on us. The devil doesn't want us to open our hearts and receive God's word and be saved. And so we run across people like that every day, people whose hearts are hard. When the word of God is presented to them, they may mock it. You believe that stuff? That's a bunch of fairy tales. How can any intelligent person believe the Bible? And you can see their hearts are hard. They're not interested in the word of God. They're not interested in meditating and considering the meaning of everything. they dismiss it right away. They mock it. They laugh at it. And so those are the ones that refuse to believe. It says the seed falls on the hard ground and the devil comes right away. The birds come right away and snatch it up so that they can't believe. Well, God can soften hard hearts. There's hope for people like that. And we find ourselves praying, Lord, open that person's heart. Make their heart tender. Help them to get past whatever it is that they've experienced in life that has made them hard like that. Make them to feel their need of you. And as we pray that way, people then, they begin to consider the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit draws them to His Word, and there's hope for them. Then there are the people that have shallow hearts. When they first hear the Word of God, they get excited, and they believe it. I'm the Lord that healeth thee. By His stripes you are healed. He bore our sickness and carried our pains. Maybe you're sick, and you say, well, the doctors don't give me any hope. Maybe, but here's the Word of God. Jesus is our healer. I'm going to believe Him. And you set out believing Him, thanking Him for His provision, praying that God will fill you with His resurrection life, and so on. But then time goes on, and you don't see yourself getting better. Sometimes, in some cases, you even get worse. And then you begin to question, well, is this really true? Can God heal me? Does He want to heal me? And you begin then to get discouraged. And then you don't claim the promises anymore. Now you start getting into unbelief. I was excited for a while, but I never committed myself to believing God's word. When God makes a promise to us and we receive it into our heart, we have to commit ourselves. I'm going to believe God no matter what things look like, no matter what changes take place. I'm going to commit myself to believing God and standing upon His word and not looking at myself or my circumstances. And tests will come. And the devil will try to get that word out of your heart and discourage you. And sometimes people give up right before the victory would come. And so we need to encourage and support one another to help each other to keep on believing. I've been reading Radiant Glory, and Mrs. Robinson talked about her healing and seeking healing and how she had to learn to keep believing God's word. Sometimes she got more sick. Sometimes it seemed like forever. God wasn't answering her prayer, but she learned to stand on the word of God, and eventually she received one victory after another. And that's along every line in our life, right? Whatever you're trusting God for, find a Bible verse, some truth in the Bible that you can stand upon, and don't just repeat it, repeat it, repeat it. That's not going to do you any good. As far as if it's just a mental thing. But if you occupy yourself with that word and you believe God to cause that word to come alive to you, that's what produces faith, and that will help us. So it's a commitment to the word of God. One year I was going down to the village. I was working on grounds, and they called me down to the village. They said, we have a problem down here. But I went down there, and I saw that one of the trees had fallen over, one of these big, big trees, tall trees, had blown over. And you saw the root system. It was like a peacock's tail, right? It was just spread on above the ground. And you realize that that tall tree had roots that couldn't go down deep into the ground to make it strong because of the rock, because of the ledge. Instead of going down deep, the roots spread out, and so it fell. They tell us that there are some trees that the roots are as deep as the tree is high. And those trees can weather storms, right? And so our roots have to go deep. And that takes commitment to the Word of God. And then the crowded heart. But that's the heart that's filled with cares, worries, the deceitfulness of riches, pursuing earthly riches to the neglect of pursuing the eternal riches, and the lusts or the desire for other things distract and keep them from giving God the time he needs to make their life fruitful. I believe God's word. I'm trusting in Jesus. But, I worry about things and I complain about things, and that chokes the word from being fruitful, from producing the fruit in my life that God intends for it to. Or maybe I'm pursuing riches and earthly comforts. I'm troubled by people sometimes in our church that they're so spending so much time trying to make money and trying to make a good life for their family and live comfortably that you hardly ever see them in the house of God. And of course, not everything depends upon your church attendance, but sometimes that's an indication that in your private life as well, you're not spending much time with God. We have a family who very lovely family, had some young men in the family, some boys. And the father was very hardworking, and he taught his boys to be very hardworking as well. And I used to watch the way he would teach them and discipline them and really try to make good, upstanding citizens out of them. But after COVID, we never saw that family back. And all the boys are now very hardworking, and he himself. And they have a heart for God. They watch our live streams, and they try to touch base with us where they can. But things have happened in each of the children's lives that have really broke my heart. And I thought, this father, who's such a good father and loves his family and is trying to teach his children the best, he hasn't gotten hold of the best of the best and the absolute importance of putting God first and seeking first the kingdom of God, that there are riches in Christ Jesus that are eternal. Earthly riches will pass away, and the economies collapse, and you lose your job, and all of that can change in a moment. But to find security in Christ and to experience the blessings and the revelations that God wants to bring into our lives, that's priceless. And so the cares and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things, they're like weeds in our heart. They take up all the moisture. The seed can't grow and produce the fruit that God's word intends it to. We have to be careful about that. And then he talks here about the good heart, good and honest. And that's a person that receives, has a desire to know the truth. And the parable is not just an interesting story. It thinks about what truth is being conveyed. What is God trying to say to me through this word? And then he gives God time to speak to him or her. You know, God needs time to speak to us. He needs our undivided attention. He needs our hearts to be in a place where we're looking to him. And laying aside other things in order to spend time in his word, in his house, in his presence. He believes the word of God, not like the hard heart who refuses to. He commits himself to continue to believe, trust God, no matter what things look like. And then he maintains that garden of his heart. He makes sure the weeds don't take over. You know, we have to be careful about that. His life is full of interesting things and full of demands. And, you know, sometimes people, I say, I miss that one at church. Oh, well, they're so busy. And I said, well, we're all busy. We're all busy. None of us have to be here. We can all find something else to do right now. Some other way to use our time. But we choose to make God's house and seeking the Lord a priority in our life. That comes first. Other things, they find their place behind if there's any room for them. Sometimes we have to let go of things, let go of interests and in order to give God the time that he requires of us. And the Holy Spirit can show you. It's a very personal thing. I can't tell you what you're supposed to do with your life and how much money you should make and how many hours you should work. But I can tell every one of us we need to seek first the kingdom of God. And we need to make our relationship with Jesus the most important pursuit in our life. And to pass that on to our children as well. And so he believes, and he commits, and then he maintains that condition of his heart. Now, I think that even we as Christians can find ourselves in all of these categories, right, at times. And so this is a very important parable. Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, how can you understand any of the others? There are keys in this parable that help to unlock the other parables. In the other parables, when you read about a seed, that often, most often, is the word of God. If you read about a sower, that's someone that ministers the word. If you read about a ground, that has something to do with the condition of your heart. If you read about the birds of the air that come and steal the seed, in other places where you read about birds, often that is talking about the enemy trying to, and if it's not talking about that, it'll be obvious. But this is a basic parable that we need to get into our hearts, and we need to ask the Lord to help us to live this way and to maintain this day by day. Someone said that the Bible doesn't tell you how anyone else is supposed to live. It only tells you how you're supposed to live. Mm-hmm. And I know that's an extreme statement, but it's certainly something to think about. I can read the Bible and I can think of 10 people that should be doing this. Oh, yeah, that's talking about the man who's so busy with his job. That, you know, what about me? I have to read the Bible first of all. What is this saying to me about my life? And I find that I have enough to take care of in my backyard that I don't have any time to meddle in someone else's. Now, of course, as a pastor, I'm concerned about others and I want to help them. But I have to apply to myself, first of all. And we all have to do that. I have a picture of a cricket and some coins. I've told some of these stories before, and you've probably heard some of you have heard these. But I'll end with this story because it kind of emphasizes some of these things. There was a Native American. That's what you call a great Native American. And he was visiting his friend who lived in Manhattan. And they were standing on a very busy street corner, like Fifth Avenue or something. And cars were honking, the taxi cabs, and people were yelling out of their cars, and others were driving, playing loud music. And as the fellow was standing there waiting to cross the street, he said, "Do you hear that?" His friend said, "What?" He said, "I hear a cricket." He said, "What? You hear? Oh, you must be imagining things. How can you hear a cricket? It's so noisy." "No, I definitely hear a cricket." And then he walked over to one of the few trees in the city, and he got down and he brushed away by the soil. He came back with a cricket. And his friend said, "That's amazing. You must have tremendous hearing." He said, "No, my hearing is no better than yours." He said, "Watch." He reached into his pocket and took out a bunch of coins. He dropped them on the sidewalk. And everybody passing by stopped. And they looked. They heard the coins in the midst of all that noise and busyness. He said, "It's not the quality of my hearing. It's what I trained my ear to listen for. I live in the woods. And I hear the crickets. And I hear the birds. You live in the city, surrounded by people that are chasing after riches. And they hear those coins when they fall on the ground and recognize that there's a treasure to be gathered." Well, I don't know if that's a true story or not, but I like the point. We have to train our ears to hear God's word, God speak to us. Yes. And that comes by spending time in his word, by getting quiet, by letting go of other things that would crowd his voice out, and just giving God a chance to speak to us. And the more we do that, we develop an ear. He who has ears to hear, he gives us ears to hear. Hear the voice of the Lord. And then he says, if you have ears to hear, then hear and act on the things that God speaks to you. So, we have to develop that. And that comes by spending time in his word, under the ministry of his word, and taking time over it. Not just reading it, not just memorizing it, not just confessing and repeating it, but really taking time in God's presence. I like after meetings when people stay and pray. We don't just get out and forget what we heard. That's like the hard ground. That was a great meeting. I mean, what was the sermon about? Oh, I don't remember. I just know it was a great meeting. Oh. Sometimes people tell me, this rarely happens, that was a good talk, Brother Ken. And I think to myself, well, thank you. I'd rather hear it's a good talk than a bad talk. But the only proof that it's a good talk is what you do with it this week. And if it makes a lasting impression, if there's some truth that has gotten hold of you. And so we would always talk after we read the Bible or after we're in a meeting, take time. Even before you leave the meeting, take time to pray and say, Lord, now cause this word to go deep into my heart. Don't let me forget it. And Lord, help me to think about it during the week and continue to pray so that I draw the full nourishment that you have for me in that word. And then show me how to respond, how to obey, how to put it into practice in my life, so that it produces some fruit that will please my Heavenly Father and that will be a blessing to others as well. Praise God. So that's the believing heart. That's something that we can pray about while we're here at camp, Lord. We're going to hear a lot from the Bible every day. And you're not going to remember everything you hear, I'm sure of that. But if you remember one thing from a sermon, from a testimony, and it goes into your heart, it can change your life. And God knows exactly what you need to hear and what I need to hear. And you know, the wonderful thing about Holy Ghost sermons is it's one size fits all, right? The Lord, you look over the congregation, maybe people you don't even know. You have no idea what they're going through, what they've been through, what they're struggling, what they're praying about. So you look to God and say, God, give me your word so that, and then Holy Spirit, take the word and cause the truth that you want to get across to each individual to go into their hearts. So we come to church, we spend time quietly waiting on God that he would prepare our hearts. That we lay aside all the distractions, get rid of all the weeds. We look past the problems that we've had. We don't let them hinder us from receiving the truth of God's word. And then we say, Lord, now whatever you say to me, help me to receive it and commit myself to it. And you be glorified in my life. Praise God. Amen. So let's sing a song about God's word. And then we will go our way today.
Amen.
My tongue will never cease to praise your host. Thank you.
85.
Thank you. You're 85.
I like how you said we can all see ourselves in these different, in each one of those categories.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw three things that happened in each category. That when the Lord says to make a sacrifice of praise, it is a sacrifice to come to church and to be in the house of the Lord when you could be sleeping in late. And I remember after 9/11, I was working as a police officer, and I'm retired, but I was witnessing to my lieutenant who couldn't understand how all these bad things had happened. And I told him we live in a fallen world. And I started witnessing, and he said to me, no, I don't want to hear about your Jesus. That's a crutch for the weak. And within a year, he lost his marriage, lost his house and lost his job. And I was doing street evangelism in Goshen. And I had a booth, a table set up for the Goshen Great American Weekend. And he came over to my table to hear about the gospel when I did Rock Bottom. Mm-hmm. And then some people refused to believe. My father was on a business trip to Jakarta in Indonesia. And the Lord woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And for some reason, he always wakes you up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't know what it is. And he woke me up and with an urgency to pray for my dad. And I got out on my knees and I started praying for my father. I was 19 years old. And the next day, my father called and he said, "You're not going to believe what happened. I was with my three business partners. And the Lord just stopped me. My father's not a Christian, he's a Catholic. I grew up as a Catholic my whole life, until I got saved. And my father got out in the middle of the intersection, the busy Jakarta, which is much busier than Manhattan can ever be, packed. And he got out of the intersection, and the cab, he said, "What are you doing? You can't get out of here. You don't even know where you're going. You don't even know how to get around." My father just felt an urgency to get out. And the guy goes, "Well, we're going to leave." And they proceeded to go through the traffic light. A truck came through and killed everybody in the cab. Mm-hmm. And so my father called me up and he couldn't believe it. He was standing there in the street and saw all of his business partners in the cab get killed. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Dad, what happened?" It was exactly the time that the Lord had gotten me up to pray for him. And you know what he said? Because that's just a coincidence.
Oh.
That's what he said. That's just a coincidence. And so in each of these areas, we can have an area where we don't believe, where we don't even see a miracle, and we choose not to, whether it's a hardened heart, a calloused heart, even when you're seeing a miracle happen right before you. And, you know, sometimes God has to take you through and hit rock bottom, like the lieutenant at work, and other times people can see a miracle, like Jesus said, and still not believe. So it's you were spot on there with that. I could see in each category of the humanity that as we walk this earth.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're sitting. What page was that again? I'm sorry.
85.
My tongue will never sing to praise Jehovah, for he's my
teach me faith and duty.
Lord, we thank you for this good reminder right at the start of this second period. That you want to speak to us. That you have a word for us, Lord. Every one of us, young and old alike. Lord, we don't want to miss what you want to say to us. We pray, Lord, that you'll give us ears to hear and eyes to see. We pray, Lord, that you will break up that fallow ground in our hearts so we can receive the seed of your word, that it can take root and bring forth fruit, more fruit, abundant fruit.
Yes.
To the glory of our Father in heaven. Lord, if there are areas in our life, or maybe there are some areas where our hearts are hardened, maybe there are some areas where we're crowding the word out. Some areas, Lord, where we don't commit, and we get easily discouraged, give up. Lord, help us. Let your word be that mirror that shows us as we really are, and then make it that window where we can see the grace of God extending to us. Now we commit ourselves to you for this day, Lord. Yes. Prepare us for our gatherings later on. Bless our times of fellowship one with another. Let your presence hover over these grounds, your protection, your glory. Again, Lord, we thank you that here's a place where it's so easy to touch you. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us to take full advantage of that. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.